97.9 FM, WCHL, and chapelboro.com present The Art of Potential, an illuminating talk show dedicated to getting your community educated, hired, and inspired. The Art of Potential combines real-world knowledge and expertise aimed at helping our community reach their full potential. Now, The Art of Potential on 97.9 FM, WCHL.
Hi, this is Kristen Heemstra. Welcome to the Art of Potential Show, a show where we showcase people who are out there creating their lives and enriching the texture of our world. Today's guest, well, let me tell you, she is a woman with a mission. Single mother of four, she has spent the last few years leaping gracefully, mind you, gracefully, from fire to fire. Her most recent fire was being laid off from her consulting job. As you can imagine, when you are the primary provider for four children, being unemployed is simply not an option. Charlotte Post is the poster child for resiliency, the topic of today's show, which it will be resiliency and how you craft your life. Charlotte, welcome.
Thanks for having me.
So let's talk about, first of all, the things that are going great in your life. What is going great?
Well, after being laid off,
yes.
I actually leveraged my network, did all of the steps, and I have landed myself a new job.
All right. So Yay. Lots of cheers if you're in your car listening. Cheer, because that is like the most awesome thing. When you are in this position, as anybody knows, being unemployed completely sucks.
Completely.
Yeah.
And it's sure panic.
Yeah. So I guess that's actually a really good point. How do you deal, because when we've been in that position, and a lot of us I know have, the panic monster is right there. Like, you can smell the nasty breath. It's right in your face. How do you handle that?
Well, the first thing you want to do is go home and turn off the cable and reanalyze the budget and don't buy organic food. But that's not realistic.
Any food, really. Yeah. Beans, honey, it's beans.
Beans and hot dogs. But the best thing you can do is stay calm. Don't panic the family. You only need one panicker. And really lay out your network. That's the best place you can go to start, is analyze your network and try to start a map of who's your first go-to person that can open doors to lead you to the next person. But even before you do that, you have to make sure your resume is up to date.
Yes.
The number one hardest thing to do is constantly keep it up. But the second thing I learned this the hard way is, as soon as you make that first phone call and tell somebody that you're looking for a job, is they go to your LinkedIn profile. And if that's not up to date, that's bad news.
No, you're absolutely right. And we actually did a show last week with a headhunter from LA, and he was talking about how everybody is recruiting now from the LinkedIn profiles. So it sounds like you went through a phase where you updated the resume, but not necessarily the LinkedIn piece.
Well, as soon as I started getting hits on LinkedIn, I immediately went and updated that. So my lag was only a day or two, but you could have missed an opportunity in those 2 days.
Right. So just quickly, LinkedIn, it's the networking platform that professionals use, and you have the ability to put, it's not a full resume, but a lot of your different skill sets on there.
Yeah, all of your history.
And so you were finding people who were looking for specific skill sets coming through. Who are you finding hitting your profile?
The first is the people in my network that I called and said, "Hey, I'm looking for a job."
Okay.
They wanted to say, "Well, let's see what she's got.
Right.
How can I help her, and who can I, point her in the right direction to?" So, LinkedIn's really important, and then the resume, and to start firing it out as much as you can.
Now, I have had the pleasure of seeing your resume. And one question I have for you, because I think you did it well, and I think that other listeners could benefit from this. You had a lot of various experience, and you were not a person who came out of college and immediately hit the job force head on. You did a lot of things that a lot of women do. They take care of their family. They volunteer. Can you tell us a little bit about how you brought your resume together, how you culled your information and your life and kind of laid it out? Because I think there's some real value in knowing that.
Yeah. I mean, I was home raising kids for 18 years, and don't discount the value of your volunteer work.
Right.
And make sure that's constantly up to date. And people don't care exactly what you did. They want to understand how you were involved in the project and what you did to help it succeed. So if it's running the cookie sale at the bake sale at school, right, it doesn't matter. They want to know how you organized it, what you did to drive sales, and what the outcome was. So it's really important to capture all of that on your resume. And, you know, I think as a stay-at-home mom, you don't think there's any value in what we do in our work, and there is a lot of value. You're also managing, you're doing the financial budget, right. You're organizing kids and families and extended family and all that. You got to figure out how to package it and send it out there.
You're absolutely right. And one of the things I like that you brought up, which again is something we heard last week, it has to be concrete. You know, to say I organized a bake sale isn't at all the picture that is going to sell someone on your experience. It really comes down to breaking it down into bite-sized pieces so they can almost visually picture you going step by step through the process.
And it was interesting. I was actually on an interview today. Even though I have a job, mm-hmm. I'm still looking for the next job, because that's when you start looking for the next job is day one of the current job.
Okay.
So I was, I actually got advice when I got my new position. I told somebody, hey, I got the new job. They said, great, get the resume up to date and start looking. Because, you know, you just never know where the opportunity is going to come in. So I was on an interview today, and it was interesting the questions she was asking. You know, tell us a time about when you had to tell somebody some sensitive information. You immediately say, well, I had to tell my daughter XYZ.
Right.
You think, okay, can't see, because you immediately go to the family. But the interview questions weren't about the position. It was about just my experiences. And some of them had nothing to do with my professional career in the last couple of years. It was all from my volunteer work.
Which is very interesting. That's behavioral interviewing is very much the thing right now. It's the situation task, mm-hmm. all that kind of stuff coming out. I do find it interesting that the questions weren't related to the position. I also find it interesting because I do think you can tell a lot about a position based on the questions they ask you.
Mm-hmm. Well, this was two of three interviews. So I get a different style of interview each time. I think Mondays is going to be the hardest.
Okay. Now, what is Mondays?
So I've been interviewed by the hiring manager. Now I've been interviewed by somebody who's in the same role that I'll be working side by side with. That was today. And I think that's why today was more personal.
Yes.
And then Mondays is somebody else who's in the role but sits in a different site in a different part of the country. And I think she comes at it from a financial perspective and more the business side. And so I think I'm going to have to really know my stuff on Monday.
So how are you going to prepare for that?
Interview other people that are in the role.
Yeah. No, I mean,
that's really the best thing you can do because I don't know a lot about it other than what I've been learning over the last week. I just, you know, landed the interview on Wednesday, and here I've had two. So first on Wednesday.
Okay, and when did you get your most recent job?
I've been in there 9 days,
wow.
10 days.
Yeah, so you're learning two jobs, is mm-hmm. what I hear you saying.
Yeah, and you know, even if I don't want this job,
right.
it's a great experience and learning process. You know, because again, I haven't been in the job market for 18 years, and so
right.
I'm kind of fresh on the interview market, and you get nervous.
No, so, you do get nervous,
practice.
And you've done. Just to go over a little bit of your history, since you've been in North Carolina, your first job was, can you tell us what your first job was?
Yeah, I was director of client development for a staffing agency.
And how did you get that job?
When I moved here, I knew one person.
Yep.
My cousin said, lives in Pennsylvania, says, you know, my brother lives in North Carolina. He probably hasn't seen you since you were 12, but I think you need to call him. So I called him and we had lunch and he said, well, I know this guy, and I want you to come in the car with me right now and go meet this person. So we met him, and he gave me a list of 10 people to call. Mm-hmm. I called all those 10 people, you know, personal thank you notes to each person every mm-hmm. step of the way. And then I eventually ended up in Governor Hunt's office. And I met with the governor.
I'm sorry. That's just, here I am. I know one person. Oh, and then I was in the governor's office. Okay.
And he's lovely. And Governor Hunt says, you know, I don't know the first thing about, you know, finding jobs here in Raleigh. But he said, when you get close, let me know and I'll write you a letter of recommendation. And so, you know, through this series of networking, I ended up at the staffing firm. And I thought I was just going in to meet more people. And at the end, they said, well, we need someone in the sales position. You interested? And I said, yeah, sure. Mm-hmm. You know, look, that's great. I got home and I called a friend. I said, how does a job offer come? Is it written or is it verbal?
Right.
You know, I don't even know. So And sure enough, I called Governor Hunt. He wrote a letter of recommendation, and I took the job.
We're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we're going to learn more about how to be resilient in today's job market. You're listening to The Art of Potential Show with Kristen Heemstra.
You're listening to The Art of Potential on 97.9 FM, WCHL.
Welcome back. This is Kristen Heemstra with The Art of Potential Show, and I am talking with Charlotte Post. We are talking about how to be resilient in today's job market and in life, basically, in general. So, Charlotte, you were just telling us how you went, you landed your first job by making one phone call to one person who you had a connection with in North Carolina and eventually ended up in the governor's office. Totally makes sense, not. But anyway, so you went through this thing. What I hear you saying is that you're really not afraid to call anyone.
We're all just people.
Right.
I mean, that's really what it comes down to.
Mm-hmm.
And you never know, like I keep saying, you never know when the next opportunity is going to come. You got to keep your eyes open. You blink, you could miss it.
Have you gotten nervous when you've been in a position to call someone you didn't know? And how did you reframe? Because you have the frame of mind, we're all just people, but there's a lot of people who have fear around that.
Not really. I'll call anybody for anything. But that's part of my pass through my volunteer work is fundraising. And so if you learn how to ask for money mm-hmm. for something else, you can learn to ask for yourself pretty quickly.
So what I hear you saying is job seekers, if you're listening, go start fundraising and pretty soon you'll be able to call anybody. Now, it's actually true, though. And again, going back to the show last week, we had a headhunter. He's calling 50 to 60 people a day.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of job seekers out there aren't picking up the phone. And if they are, it's one or two calls. But that's just not going to work.
No, it's all based on really who you know is what it comes down to.
And to meet those people, you have to go out and introduce yourself.
Mm-hmm.
So I know the last layoff you went through, you and thousands of other people got laid off. It was not, you had a pretty massive layoff take place. Of those thousands of people, if you had to guesstimate, how many would you say have landed back on their feet in some role?
Probably not as many as should. I mean, that's the problem, especially when you are in, there was a common theme to our jobs.
Right.
So now you have mass hitting the market looking for the same opportunities.
So did you go looking for the same thing or did you branch out?
Well, I had 2 weeks left where I was working.
Yep.
And I was transitioning my role over to somebody else who who hadn't lost their job. So while right. I was training them, I was using that time to use my network while I was still there. And I found a job within the same company in a different organization by using my network.
So were you going door to door, calling? How are you? I'm trying to visualize how this was happening.
So I didn't want to send the message to everybody.
Right, no.
So once I...
weren't walking around with a megaphone. Hey,
who's got a job for me? I sort of laid out on index cards, who's at the top and sort of worked the way down.
So you had a visual.
Yeah, I always have a visual.
Okay.
Much easier.
Okay.
And shuffle it around. I mean, the whole company was going through a massive reorganization, too. So people are moving different organizations on the executive level. And yep. I was trying to follow them and see where their needs were and if they were taking a team with them or they are developing a new team and then tried to wiggle my way in that way.
All very strategic, I have to say. It's almost like a chess game with lots of moving players.
It is a game. And if you can keep that mentality in your mind, mm-hmm. then you don't feel like you just want to curl up in bed and cry all day long. Because you have to stay on. It is a job. It's a full-time job looking for a job. I know everybody says it's such a cliche, but it's true.
Yes, it is true. And I want to go back to crawling up into a bed and crying all day. Because I do think, again, there are a lot of people for whom that's their go-to. So what is your advice because I know this is when you get those waves of kind of panic that wash over.
Well, we all get them.
Right. We all do.
Right.
But the boat's going to sink because there's lots of leaky holes.
But the power, I cannot tell you about the power of positive thought. It'll take you so far in life. And the other thing that I learned is analyze your personal board of directors and who your biggest cheerleaders are. And get rid of the fluff
mm-hmm.
and tighten your ship and use those people to bounce ideas off of and make sure they're going to be constantly supporting you and giving you just the positive feedback or, you know, or at least realistic feedback that you need.
Right.
But they're the ones you're going to see when you're sort of losing it and about to burst into tears. And they're the ones you need to go to get you back on track.
So your personal board of directors would be, like, I'm thinking your mother, your partner, your maybe your child, I don't know, but who would you consider to be your personal board of directors? Friends?
Yeah, great friends. Yeah, of course, family, not the kids so much.
Right.
My oldest daughter, yes, because she works and understands. And she also happened to be sitting next to me when I got the call that I was being laid off. She saw my body go stiff.
Nothing like mother bonding, mother-daughter bonding time.
Exactly. And people that I picked up in my throughout my networking that I have used as mentors in other groups and organizations that, you know, I knew wouldn't have hiring power.
Right.
But I could say, look, I'm falling apart here. You know, what advice do you have to give me? And, you know, pick a career coach, pick a life coach kind of personality that's on that board and use them.
How many people would you say is on your board of directors?
Eight, maybe.
Okay. No, that's... I'm sure you don't have board meetings, but that would be kind of fun.
No, and you reach out to different ones for, you know, and you have to follow up with those people and say, I'm doing great now. What can I give to you? You know, what can I help you with? Because it's not just a one-way thing.
So let's go back then to the power of positive thinking. How do you stay positive? This is really the crux, because it really is.
Yeah, some people just don't have it.
I realize that. And that's why we're talking right now. We're trying to get your information out to them so they can have some of it too.
Yeah. If you stop believing, the momentum's going to stop with it and nothing's going to come your way. I don't know if it's inbred in my personality, but you just got to keep moving forward. And if you're just going to spend all of your time looking over your shoulder thinking, oh, what did I do wrong? You're never going to get over that mountain. And don't let stop signs and bumps in the road stop you. Figure out how to get around them and keep on forging through, because there is a beautiful rainbow at the other side. And you have to believe that.
Yes, you do. There's some light at that tunnel. There's a beautiful rainbow. There's a mansion. It doesn't matter what it is. Do you have a vision in your head that you're trying to live towards?
Yeah, I still have to figure out who I want to be when I grow up.
Okay.
I mean, you know, it's true, because I am new back at the workforce. And if I have to work for another 10, 15 years, what do I want that to look like?
Yep.
And who do I want to be? And what I think I'm still discovering what my purpose is and figuring out what I have to give. Because I think there is something out there. There's a reason I'm in this position and I'm working so hard. And I'm really trying to figure out what my gift is I'm going to give.
Okay. So that brings into the conversation some type of a faith-based approach or some type of a global, intuitive, whatever you want to call it, bigger picture type of a thing. So with your job right now, it sounds to me like you're discovering who you are and who you aren't.
And learning skills along the way, which I've never worked in a major, you know, public global corporation before.
Congratulations.
Thanks.
So these skills, are you seeing they're similar to the skills you were using when you were volunteering?
Your people skills are. It's all the technology that I'm behind the eight ball on.
Right.
I mean, there are things I have to call the kids on and say, I don't know how to do this.
How do you turn the computer on, honey?
I showed the kids one day. I said, look what I did at work today. And I'm showing them. They said, that's a PowerPoint. Like, I know, isn't it good?
Yeah, Mom, we did this in second grade. Uh-huh.
So, you know, there is a tremendous amount of catch up.
Yes.
And I think... I think in general as women, and I don't know if I've told you, but I'm co-lead of a women's organization in Raleigh called Connected Women in North Carolina. And I've interviewed a lot of the executive women that are part of this organization about their jobs and their self-confidence and, you know, every day. And a lot of them say, have sort of some of the same fears that I have. And these women have been in these roles for 20 plus years. One of them manages 1,500 people. And I said, you know, how as a woman do you walk into that job every day? And she says, I know some days I feel like they're just going to figure out that I'm not that smart. You know, and I think that we as women need to realize that, you know, we bring a lot to the table. And we bring a lot of different components and viewpoints. And, you know, we've got a lot to learn. And thank goodness for Sheryl Sandberg.
Yeah.
You know, and bring it to our attention.
On that note, we're going to take a break. We will be right back with the Art of Potential show.
You're listening to The Art of Potential on 97.9 FM. WCHL.
Welcome back. This is Kristen Heemstra. You are listening to the Art of Potential show, and I am talking with Charlotte Post, one of the world's most resilient women. Now, Charlotte, when we were talking earlier, you were talking a little bit about how you just have to have faith in the process. You have to try to figure out what your purpose was. And we talked about this a little bit, but let's talk about faith on the journey, particularly in the job search and in dealing with your purpose. How has that played a role in keeping you going?
What's the story about the palm tree and the storm? And that palm trees are the strongest trees there are. And when the huge hurricane comes in, the palm trees can bend all the way down and practically touch the ground. But when the storm is done, it bounces right back up.
Mm-hmm.
And that story has always stayed with me of just giving me strength and believing that, you know what? The worst can come at you, but somebody's looking after you to make sure you pop back up and get the sun again. And, you know, I get my daily devotional every day, and that always seems to apply to me.
Are you doing the Jesus? Which book do you use, or do you?
I get them through email.
Do you? Okay.
Work for a technology company.
Right.
And, you know.
So do you have a morning ritual, meditation, devotional time that you do every morning?
I just read that email.
Yeah, so you anchor in that.
Yeah.
That's how you anchor your day.
And it just you know, reminds me of things that I need to work on for myself and how I can, what my purpose is for my family and what gifts I can give to them. And, I don't know, it just, you know, going to church on the weekends and.
It sounds centering.
Yeah. I don't know. It's just sort of helped guide me and give me strength and believing in myself because I've had a difficult path for a couple of years.
Yep.
And it's helped just provide me knowing that I'm not alone.
That there's some greater, greater, I don't know what you would call it, but a greater force out there with you working.
He's got a plan for me.
Right.
I've questioned it a lot. But I do believe there is a plan for me.
There is a plan.
Yeah.
I'm just curious, when you read these devotionals and you set your path, do you have a vision for how you want your family life to be in context with your faith?
No, because I've learned I can't control other people.
No, well, that's very true.
I only control the way I react to other people.
When did you learn that lesson, Charlotte?
It's called having teenagers. What was the question again?
It was, you mentioned you kind of center on your daily devotional and that's how you start your day. And I just wondered if that played out into how you created your family and the family environment. But to your point, I think it does. You weren't necessarily going to say this, but I will. Just realizing you don't have control over other people and you do have control over yourself does allow you to gauge your own reactions a bit.
I think so. And I think the best kind of role model you can be is, you know, understanding your faith and guiding and being a role model for your beliefs. And you can't, and just showing my children what I believe and how that's transpired into how I have led our family in the last couple of years with all the change that we've had and going back to work. And they're going to learn by example.
That is so true. Kids do learn by example. And I can tell you because I've been reading Jesus Calling at my breakfast table and no one seems to care.
So yeah.
We're going to have to go with the example.
But you know what? But they know you're reading it.
Right.
And they understand why because
it's
who you are and what you believe.
So when you talk about your purpose and trying to find your purpose, what does that feel like?
I don't know. I'm riled up inside.
You're riled up. So
I am
energy,
riled up.
There's energy, there's fire, there's passion, there's
I think I've gone through all these experiences over the last couple of years for a reason.
Yes.
And
besides to be on the Art of Potential show.
That was my number one goal on the bucket list. I can check that off.
Right.
So, but I think there's a potential for me to do something great.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm in the process of trying to identify what that is.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't say I'm looking for a sign, but I've been getting a lot of messages and feelings that something's going to happen. I don't know what it is yet.
No, but you feel like you're being prepared.
I am.
You're being trained. Like, this is your training. You're kind of like going through boot camp.
Yeah, and I'm ecstatic to find out what it is.
You think
and
you
I'm
are.
Ready. You'll and I don't want to be waiting the rest of my life.
Come on.
When is that going to happen?
Well, I think that's just very interesting because one of my favorite quotes from Martin Luther King Jr. talks about greatness, and to find your greatness, it comes in the form of service of some kind.
Mm-hmm.
And it does strike me that a lot of people's purpose is, well, probably everyone's, is in some way to serve, but I'm not sure it's to serve in the way we necessarily think to serve. For example, I'll use J.K. Rowling. You know, she did a tremendous service to people by writing those books, the mm-hmm. Harry Potter books. So many kids learned to read. So many people found courage to stand up against wrong things. But you don't necessarily think, oh, my service to humankind is mm-hmm. going to be writing a book. So I just bring this up because I think this is something, it's part of the show, the Art of Potential show. There's so much potential out there. And I think sometimes people overlook what is really a beautiful thing about them that they can contribute because they're looking for something that fits the mold. But yet we're not really moldy kind of people, if you will.
Well, and that brings up an interesting point that goes back to interviewing.
Mm-hmm.
When I was looking for my job, I got advice from a friend of mine who has his own TV show in New York.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, the best person to speak about you is somebody else because we don't see ourselves
right. The
way other people see us, especially when it comes to our successes. We become humble. And so get other people to be your advocate and help you achieve what's waiting for you.
So how did you do that in the job interview process?
Once I targeted sort of who I needed to get to.
Yes.
I went back to my network
Yes. And
said, I'd like to talk to John.
Right.
Could you help me talk? You know, this is why I want to talk to him. I had a lot of people that say, I'd love to help you. Don't have anything right now. And
right.
I'd say, oh, well, you'd like to help me. Here's how you could help me.
Right.
And so and so. And here's another interesting advice I just got from head of HR from my organization. Because he was sort of helping me walk through the hiring process in this company. And he said, anytime anybody says, I will write you, I will be on your recommendation list, say thank you, I'm going to take you up on that. And he said, but also anytime anybody sends an email that says an accolade of something you did, keep that in a file because those hiring managers want to see as well. Because it's not just the big wig. You think you need the recommendations from the highest person in the chain. And that's not true. Sometimes it's from your coworkers or the secretary
client.
Or the nice thing the cleaning person has to say. If you have that in writing, keep it in your portfolio and share that. Because that's what's true and real.
So did you do that in your interview?
I did it after the first conversation. I said, here's a list of people. I provided a list and, you know, and said, what would you like to see? And she picked a couple out and I sent them off to her.
Okay. So you had written recommendations?
No, I had a list of names of people that would offer recommendations.
Okay.
But I also had a little file. I created a portfolio for myself. Like if I was an artist going into the show, every project I worked on in the last year at that company, I printed out somehow so you could verbally like flip through the pages. Nobody wanted to see it. But
but you had it.
It was a great exercise.
Because
all of a sudden I thought, oh my gosh, I forgot I did that. I did a lot of work this past year. And it also gave me talking points for when I went into that interview because now I had a fresh recollection of everything I did.
And you could pull it up right away. It
made a big difference
Huge difference.
I got in there.
Yeah, no, that's how, and that goes for anybody who is preparing for a job interview. The fresher it is for you, the better you're going to interview because you have the information right there and you won't leave the interview cursing yourself because you forgot to bring up the one big thing that was completely relevant to the question.
Exactly. And I had it all right there as reference in case, you know, I needed to show them something. I don't know. Here's my PowerPoint. My kids laughed at.
It doesn't hurt, though. Even if they don't look at it, they know you have it. And there's something very concrete about a visual presentation as well.
You've done your homework. And the other thing I did was I made an internal resume and an external resume. So the jobs I was targeting outside of that company, it looked and appeared very different and had different target words than the one internal. Because once you're inside a company, you're trying to move around, you know the lingo.
You're listening to The Art of Potential Show with Kristen Heemstra.
You're listening to The Art of Potential on 97.9 FM, WCHL.
Hi, this is Kristen Heemstra. Welcome back to The Art of Potential Show. I am talking with Charlotte Post. Please be sure to take a moment to like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at The Art of Potential. So, Charlotte, this wonderful story you just told about being recited a poem by Lex Alexander, and you talked about messages. How have you gotten messages over time?
I have a very close friend who is on my board of directors.
Yes.
And she—
I love that board of directors thing. I'm so, like, I'm going to send out invitations.
It is. It's really, yeah. It's really, yeah. You have to have it.
Do you have two genders? Yeah, you did. You have a male friend on yours, too. I'm just thinking a lot of women go traditionally with male.
No, you need to mix it up.
Yeah.
Because you need different perspectives.
Yes, you do.
And different ages as well. You don't want them all to be peers.
No.
You know, you want, you know, retired or seasoned or, you know. And you want somebody in there that also that you can mentor and coach. Maybe somebody who's struggling themselves that can also benefit from your board and see how it happens. But so I have a friend on my board of directors, and she is really just my spiritual, you know, guider. And when I call her and say, I am losing it. And she'll give me a message. I mean, she's homeschools four kids, devout Christian, daily devotionals with her family every day. And so, and she'll say, okay, here's the message that we read today. Maybe this will help you. And it becomes personal. It's not just my email message. And she's always tried to help guide me and, I don't know, to sort of provide belief when I felt like I didn't have any.
So you get messages from your board of directors, you get messages from Lex Alexander. What about internally? Do you ever feel like you get messages inside? Inspirations? You said you're all fiery inside.
I am all fiery inside. And I think when the time's right, I'll know what that's about.
Yes.
And obviously, it's not yet. I think we're always waiting for when this is finished, this will happen. Or when, you know, I don't know, just we're always waiting for the next thing. And I kind of feel that way, too. I've got a lot on my plate. And when that settles down, then maybe it'll be time to go in another direction or find out what that light is I'm following. I don't know. But I've learned in my wise old age to trust my instincts. Mm-hmm. And I think that's a big thing that we don't do enough of is listen to that voice inside us. Even if it's that voice that's saying, go back in and get the sweater, it's going to be cold.
Right.
Listen. Because guess what? The voice is usually right.
Well, mine always says, go back in and buy the sweater because you're going to want it.
But it was funny. My devotional this morning was, when you hear yourself saying, I know I should, but you don't, maybe we know we should and we should. So, because I've been thinking, you know, I've stopped running for the last month or so, and I keep saying, I know I need to run. That alarm goes off at 5 o'clock, and I, you know,
it's
go back to 6.
Warm in bed.
I know, but I know I need to run.
Right.
And I can tell in my body I need to run.
Yes.
And I need to listen.
Your mind and all that kind of stuff. No, and that's a hard one. I have that conversation every morning. I don't always win that one.
No, me neither.
No, I think that's a very interesting point, though, that we're all dealing with, particularly in times of trouble or when we're facing some obstacle. It can feel not just overwhelming, but it can also feel very alone.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and even if you're surrounded by people who love you and adore you and all that, it can still feel very alone. And so sometimes finding those messages through friends or, you know, through fortune cookies mm-hmm. or, you know, wherever it may be, I think is a very important part of the faith journey that happens as it goes. How have you dealt with feelings of being alone?
I cry in the shower. Okay. I'm a really good shower crier.
Well, that's, you know, the water's already there. No one's likely going to bother you.
Exercise really helps.
Balances, yep. Keeps the energy.
It really helps. And as a single mom, I'm alone a lot. I don't have that tag team.
Right. You don't.
Somebody to rely on. And I don't know. It's an incredible journey of self-discovery. Incredible. Because I think, you know, I've been so busy with four kids and, you know, married for 20 years that I relied on everybody else that I didn't have to soul search. Mm-hmm. And now I thought, well, you know what? I can do this. Some days you feel like you can't. But it was interesting. When I got the job offer, the new job offer, I was by myself, and I wanted to just jump up in the air and high-five somebody. And I thought, there's nobody to tell. I mean, I will tell my board. But at the moment, there was nobody to celebrate with. And I thought, okay, there's a lesson in this for me. There's a lesson just to be happy with myself here.
Interesting.
And enjoy it. There's lessons in everything if you look for them.
Oh, there totally is. I absolutely believe that. I'm very curious. Do you ever look back on your life and say, I did really well at this, or this is something I was good at, or do you ever allow yourself to do that?
I don't have a lot of time for that. But
no. reflection.
Not yet.
Don't do that. No.
Yeah, and you know when you do that is when you're sitting in your interview.
This is true. So there's another reason mm-hmm. to job interview.
You know, it's your time to get on your soapbox. It's very hard to stand on your soapbox and talk about yourself.
I agree with that. I also think that people spend a lot of time looking back over their shoulder and noticing everything they screwed up.
Mm-hmm. Can't change it.
You can't change it. But I also think we overlook a lot of great things.
It's true.
And pick up the really crappy ones and say, I think I'll carry this one around.
I don't want to look back at my life and think about it all being awful.
Right.
Because it wasn't.
No.
You know, I'm blessed. We're healthy.
Yes.
We're here together.
Yes.
And, you know, there's a lot of great things tomorrow.
Absolutely. So what is your vision for tomorrow? For you, for your family, for your career, what does it look like? And how do you, I want to know, because you're very visual. You seem to write things out and have some type of a systematic plan. And I know that you can't go that far, but I'd like to know what are some concrete steps that you're moving forward with? Or that you will be after this interview.
I want to breathe.
Okay. That's a fair
That's
fair
number
comment.
One. You know, I just...
You want to relax. Like, when I think of breathe, I think of you falling back into a cushiony chair and just kind of being.
Yeah, I just, you know, I go at 100 miles per hour all day long, all the time. And I want to stop and smell the roses with the kids mm-hmm. And have them realize that transition is difficult, but there's always some good that's going to come out of it, and we're all going to be better for it.
And that's, so you have to live that
every day.
You have to live that. Does that give you power?
It gives me strength. I don't know about power.
Fair enough. It would give you strength if you were trying very hard to be a role model for your kids. You don't have a lot of options to fail.
No,
you don't.
You know, my kids know mom can do it all.
Right.
By default.
Right.
I wouldn't have chosen it to be that way. It is the way it is. And I think, you know, the best we can do is be a role model, mm-hmm. be present for them.
Yep.
And even when you're exhausted and, you know, don't think you can take one more step, you have to.
Great advice. Well, you have just listened to the Art of Potential show with the most resilient woman in Chapel Hill, maybe, maybe not, but definitely one of them, Charlotte Post. Please take a moment and like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter. Thank you for listening.
Two 2 years ago, we launched chapelboro.com so that our community could have its first digital town square. Since then, our town has evolved and chapelboro.com is evolving with it.
Chapelboro 2.0 carries the same great features and now provides an even better user experience. With its sleek new design and wide accessibility, Chapelboro 2.0 truly is
bigger, faster, and stronger.
We encourage you to stop by multiple times a day. We guarantee there'll always be something new to see.
Chapelboro 2.0, bigger, faster, stronger. Check it out now.
Are you looking for a great local deal? Have you checked out our local deal? What are you waiting for? It's as easy as 1, 2, and 3. 1, visit ourlocaldeal.com. 2, enter your email address. And 3, you'll start receiving great daily deals right into your inbox for great local businesses and services. So don't wait. Every day you wait is another great deal you've missed out on. Visit ourlocaldeal.com and sign up today.
There's no price like Half Price, and there's no deal like ourlocaldeal.com.